All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It's time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, we get to return the favor to Jennifer today.
Stan's been waiting for retribution. Now, if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices is called Toolbox Tuesday, where we share some tips and tricks. And this series that we are currently in has actually been a request from our social media followers. We had multiple people respond in our polls saying that they wanted to hear a little bit of our origin stories. And so we just finished a three-part series of Sten sharing his multiple origin stories and how it developed from single practice to group practice and the mentorship that he offers to our doctors. But now the tables had turned from a team member perspective, and it's my turn to be in the hot seat. So,
So right off the bat, Jennifer, let's talk about your origin. Let's talk about how did you get started and what attracted you to this career path? Where did you start? And tell me what the climate was and all the pros and cons and good, bad, and the ugly of those first few years.
oh, there was a lot of ugly. This slide is even ugly when I'm looking at this horrible four-step picture. I don't know who decided that was a good idea, but no, I think, and part of the reason, owner doctors, just so that you know, I want to share a little bit about this, is for you to be able to use from a recruiting standpoint. You know, we're seeing in the hiring market right now, there's so many people that are interested in building a career in dentistry. We've talked a ton about our First 400 program that enables us to onboard team members and accelerate that process from 6 months to 60 days to empower you to be able to hire with or without dental experience. So if you are looking for those team members who are coming to you without dental experience, how can you maybe show them a path and show them what's possible and get them excited about dentistry? Because to be completely honest, a lot of the team members even that I'm interviewing, they're either grossed out by dentistry or they don't see how it's possible for them to be involved in dentistry. So I fell into it completely accidentally. My first chairside experience was the other assistant I was working in, single doctor practice, pulled out sick, and guess what? You're going to be chairside on a surgical extraction, hence the slide for this particular part of it. And I was terrified. I was scared out of my mind. I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't, you know, we've heard many stories of other team members who had similar experiences where they were not prepared and it scared them away. From my standpoint, fortunately, it didn't scare me away and I continued, kind of fell in love with it. But we find that that is the path a lot of assistants have taken. You know, a lot of people say they want to be involved in medical assisting, and then they get into it and realize it really doesn't provide the work-life balance that we get to enjoy from a dental standpoint. You know, we have banker's hours for all intents and purposes, so they can still help people and build their career, but they can still have lives outside of practice. So.
So then you did not start in the back office. You started more in the front office. Is that correct?
Now, I started emptying trashes and filing and was pulled into the back office out of need. So it was, guess what? Put down your trash can and you're doing a surgical extraction now.
And obviously you started pretty young. So what year and kind of what
Yes.
stage was that you did, and what kind of experience have you had going into that?
I had zero experience, not a darn thing. Didn't know how to put a mask on my face. And I'm not even exaggerating. I had no experience. That was in 2000. So that was 25 years ago. The dentistry has changed obviously significantly since then, but I had absolutely no experience. I quite frankly had no business being in that room, and I didn't have any resources to look to. I had no cheat sheets. I had nothing. No knock on anyone here, but the office manager was the doctor's wife, and she didn't have any chairside dental experience either. So there literally was nothing and no one for me to look to in that moment, and that was it.
Good. Okay.
So, and I survived. We survived, and then built on it, you know, built on it from there. But you know, after I got out of that horrifying, you know, experience, and again, a lot of the programs that we talk about with our private clients and our coaching is they have been built out of a need. You know, I didn't ever want to have a team member that I was responsible for that was, you know, under my care and supervision, not be in that same situation. You know, that's an extreme, but it happens. And I didn't want them to never have resources or something that they can turn to, which is where all of our cheat sheets and everything have been born from since then.
Okay. So that was kind of the start. You got excited a little bit about it. What parts and pieces motivated you? I mean, what did you really get excited about with the back office, with the old industry? And I mean, what were some of the perks that you saw right off the bat?
Wanted to be able to help people. I mean, that was something that I always had a passion for, and I didn't know how to translate that into an actual career, and you get into college and you're supposed to have all of the answers in the world, and you don't. There's and it's really difficult to find a path in many situations because they require you to have work experience. And if you're trying to work at the same time, it's very difficult to gain that experience if no one gives you a chance. There were so many dental assisting programs that I had looked at in the area, and still is the case where you have to take off a year and do that full time. And that wasn't something that I was able to do. Was in college, I was trying to find a way to support myself and have an income. So, it enabled me to have a career where I could help people. I knew I wanted to continue to advance and grow and be able to add things to my repertoire. I wanted to still have that work-life balance. I did want to still go to school and pursue, other things. And I still do writing on the side. That's what I was in college for. But it enabled me to have that on-the-job training and to see a path where I could advance and then move on to leadership. I always knew that I didn't want to. I don't say this, to marginalize anyone, but only be chairside assisting forever. I wanted to be involved in front office. I wanted to be involved in management. I wanted to be involved in some of the business operations. And I could see that path, being able to have those options in the career.
You wanted to grow up the ladder. You want to make a bigger impact. So, I mean, I think you mentioned it kind of before the talk, but I really think it's important to kind of tie your story, because I don't think your story, even though I think probably the latter part of the story is unique. And you know, there's a lot of people that do have a similar trajectory. I think you've had a very steep one, but the beginning part of your story, I don't think is very uncommon.
No, not all the time.
And so, I mean, how do we take the parts and pieces of the story in your beginning years and translate that to how can an office manager, how can a doctor or a group of doctors use that to their advantage to kind of guide some of their recruiting, guide some of their training and different things like that? Like, I mean, how should they look at these interviews? How should they look at these onboardings, things like that?
I think a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this too. When we're interviewing someone, we're looking for them to already have the path planned out and for them to tell us everything that they need and want. Sten will tell you I'm pretty vocal about what I have needed and wanted over the years. That's why him and I have worked together so well for so long. I've laid it out there, but not everyone is going to know that. And I think actually taking the time to show someone the path of what it can look like and what is possible. And you may not have every step along the way mapped out 100% for that person, but that's where you really find those people we talk about building the unicorns. Not everyone's going to walk in and just have it all laid out for you. And this is what my 10-year trajectory is going to look like in your practice. But you can start to plant those seeds. And we are very firm believers in you can build unicorns. We're not waiting for unicorns. You can build them. And, seeing someone that has an interest and wants to build a career and wants to stay with you long term, if you're going to put all of that time, energy, effort into a person, they want to see that they can advance and that they can really make this a career. And it's not just going to be another job. You just need to show some little glimmers of hope. And, to be completely honest, the first practice that I started in, I stayed as long as I did in a lot of regards out of fear because it had been told to me, you're not going to work anywhere else in the town that you're working in. If you try to go leave, sorry, that's not going to happen for you, right? So, fear kept me there. That's not going to keep everybody there, right? That's not a way to build a team that's going to be those loyal team members and go into battle with you. For that next week. In the meantime, if you want to learn more about our training programs, about our private client coaching options that we have available, if you are in a phase where you are trying to recruit new team members and looking for ways to make your offices and what you have to offer more attractive, please feel free to reach out to us. We're on all of the social media platforms. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com. So we will be back next week and we look forward to connecting with you guys in the meantime.
See you next time.
Bye.